You know, I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here this morning for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined alongside my co-host Liam Davis. How you doing this morning, Liam?
Awesome.
Good to hear. Let's get straight into it. We've got to recap the past week in Arabian sports, and of course, it's getting later into fall, so we're kind of running out of sports. Of course, tennis, you know, their season's over. They had their sectional this past week, so we'll get into it first. Here's boys soccer.
Yeah, so boys soccer coming off an even week this week, losing to Mount Vernon 2-0, and then beating Hamilton Heights 4-0. Your goal leaders were Jordan Wilson and Dylan John, and then Curtis Gaisi, Peyton Hendrickson, Aiden Boys, Mason McEwen, Yvonne Landiford, and Damien Ruiz, Pozos, all had a goal each. So they're 10-5 and run right now. They went undefeated in conference play. But then unfortunately lost to Mount Vernon. And now upcoming they have Fishers and...
No, hold on. So, sorry, I didn't help you here. I made the sheet to help us prep for this.
Oh, that's gross soccer.
We're mixing them here. Right now they are undefeated in the Hoosier Heritage Conference, and they have HSC next in their sectional. Their regular season is over with. It's just their sectional that they'll play on Tuesday. So they went undefeated and won the Hoosier Heritage Conference.
They beat Shelbyville 10-1.
Yep.
Sorry, I was looking at girls soccer.
Yep, they beat Shelbyville as well as New Pal that game 5-1. So congrats, boys soccer. 7-0 in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. Can't get any better than that.
No. You really can't.
Yeah. We'll move on to girls soccer, of course. They had two matchups this week, split just like the boys team. They lost to Mount Vernon 2-0. And then they played at Hamilton Heights, and they won that one 4-0. Yeah, it's been a pretty tough season for them. 6-9 on the season, 4-3 in the conference. But they've got one more game in the regular season against Brebeuf Jesuit, and then after that, it's Fishers in the sectional. And you know, that's a really tough sectional. It's going to be difficult to make it out of that. But they've got one win in a row. Hopefully, they can make it two today with the win over Brebeuf and get into that sectional rolling.
Yeah, obviously you want to have quite a win streak to go into sectionals because it's one and done. And the most times that you can get into a streak with wins, the happier team's going to be, and hopefully the better the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, we'll move on to the season stats for that. Of course, Leah Robinson, the freshman, 13 goals on the season, 2 assists. Leading your team with 13 goals as a freshman. I'm excited for the next 3 years of this Lady Arabian soccer team. Courtney Prickett shortly behind her with 6 goals on the season, 6 assists, 18 points in total. We'll move on to volleyball, 14-15 on the year. Liam, tell me about their last week.
Yeah, so they picked up their first conference win. They unfortunately got swept by Shelbyville, but then they bounced back and beat Greenfield 3-1. Carmen Horn had a fabulous season. She had 364 kills, 54 service aces, and 26 total blocks.
Yeah, well, kind of winding down on that season, not too many matchups left, so we'll get into that later in the coaches' show, what's next for them. But let's talk about the football game last night, of course. You know, it's mainly going to be the topic of this coaches' show. The Ravens got a big win, 49-6 over the Delta Eagles. What a game, Liam. You were there. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the best game I've watched Pendleton Knights play. They ran 25 less plays than Delta did the whole game, and they only had the ball for 17 minutes, where Delta had it for 31 minutes, like around there, rough average. It was awesome to watch them and do what they do. Last night, Joel Weaver had such a great game. He had that huge touchdown run for 96 yards. Brant Gray was making explosive runs up the middle, taking a couple hits from the defenders, showing that they just can't take him down. And then Cooper Sims getting active, having the most yards that he's had all year on 3 receptions. Unfortunately, did fumble near the end zone. I talked to him after. He thought that he was in the end zone, but it turned out that he wasn't. And someone hit the ball out of his hands. Ball dropped out. They recovered it. But then he came back very next possession and scored that touchdown.
Yeah, I'm just doing the math here now. So, of course, this is the last week they played Mount Vernon. I mentioned this to you before, Liam, but they beat Mount Vernon by the most points they've ever put up on Mount Vernon. That was a school record, like PR against Mount Vernon. And then they did that last night with 49 points over Delta, and that was the largest margin of victory ever against the Delta Eagles. This team is setting records. I mean, a 96-yard run, that, I mean, it kind of inflated the average rushing average, but they averaged 16 a play. Mm-hmm. This team looks incredible, and they're going into not their toughest matchup of the season, but the second. And, you know, I really think this is going to be a preview of the sectional championship against Yorktown.
Yeah, or unfortunately they draw each other in the earlier rounds, mm-hmm. which would suck. But obviously I'm excited to see them play Yorktown. They're coming off a 53-14 win over Mount Vernon, 49-6 win over Delta. And Brant Gray's looking the best Brant Gray's ever looked like. Joel Weaver's looking like the next up-and-coming Keaton Jones, but he's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw 2 more years of Brant, or we have another year after this with Brant Gray. So I'm excited to see what this team can do in the future, especially against Yorktown. Yorktown's having the best season I think they've had in a really, really long time, especially with their quarterback, Sam Tokar. He's already over 1,000 yards passing and Brant Gray, like, I'm pretty sure he just reached 800 last night.
Yeah.
Sam Tokar can really light up the passing game.
That one's going to be a fun one. We'll get into the stats from last night. 6-for-10 was Brant Gray, 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Coach Richmond talked about it in the pregame interview. The best stat Brant Gray is going to have is their Arabians record. I've called him a game manager a lot. He manages the game well. And last night he started making a few plays that said, all right, you know, you're getting to the point where you're getting past managing the game and you're making plays and you're going out and winning it for your team. He had many big touchdown runs and he created possessions and first downs for his team. And that doesn't show in the stat book.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to look at it as this is the first ever 6-1 start. Mm-hmm. Pillinson Knights has had, and they're led by Brant Gray. So you got to look at it as you're the quarterback, you're the one of the building pieces to this Pillinson Knights team, and you're leading them to a 6-1 start. And now you're going into the last 2 games of the season looking to make it an 8-1 start going to the sectionals, which would be awesome. But Joel Weaver is also one of the biggest parts behind this offensive line. 11 attempts, 227 yards with that 96-yard rushing touchdown and 3 touchdowns to go along with that. That's just crazy, honestly. 21 average per game per carry.
Yeah, we talked about it last night. Defensively for the Arabians, I thought they did a really good job at making adjustments going into that game. The running back for Delta, Avan Thomas, had 700 yards on the season. He's coming off his best career game where he had 178 yards and 4 touchdowns against Newcastle, and it was just on the board. I believe, personally, if you can control Thomas, you can control the Eagles' offense, and they did it from the start. Delta didn't run too many sweeps and reversals and everything they were used to towards the start of that game. They went to it towards the end, but they shut down Thomas and thus were able to lock down the Eagles. And I thought the Arabians, I mean, 1-for-10, they forced the Delta Eagles 1-for-10 on third down. That shows you they were making adjustments. They were countering the Eagles, and they had no re-counter answer.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that they kept their starters in the whole time. There was people moving in and out. We saw Eli Poore out there on the defensive line. We saw Nolan Hobbs out there at safety ever since the second quarter. And then we saw the second string lineup come in during the whole entire fourth quarter when they hit the running clock, and Delta still couldn't even score.
Yeah, this was a really good game last night. We're going to wrap it up here in the opening segment, but we've got a lot more to talk about. Stay tuned. Head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond, going to join us here shortly, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Tune in and type up for 917WEEM.org. The greatest website for the greatest student-run radio station. Whatever you need, we've got it. From sports to podcasts to weather and more, we have everything you're looking for. It's all here on 917WEEM.
This 917WEEM sports program is supported by... RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers. Located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Liam Davis in the studio, head coach of the Arabian football team, Coach Richmond. Last night, you get a big win over Conference Delta. How you feeling post the win?
Every win's a good win. Really proud of the kids, and we showed a lot of stuff last night, so it's good.
Yeah, so last week I mentioned to you after the game in Mount Vernon, you put up the most points you've ever put up against the Marauders.
Yeah.
This week you did that with the Eagles, the biggest win margin of victory, I should say, ever against Delta. You guys are setting records this season. How does that feel for you and the team?
Well, I mean, all transparency, I'm surprised. So, my reaction is, to be honest, I'm surprised. So, but I it doesn't surprise me the way we're playing right now. But with that longstanding rivalry for both of those teams, that's humbling. So I keep telling these guys they're special, we're our biggest opponent. Said it all year. Take nothing away from our opponents. As long as we don't get in our way, the sky's the limit. So, really proud of them for their production. And, last night, I think I saw a lot of guys happy for other people's successes, whether it's Coop scoring on the Boise Go or whether it was Dane Apple. I mean, the sideline was so fired up for him, and so was I. I mean, kid works his butt off, and all the way around, guys were really happy for one another, and that's big time, when you can see that selflessness and the team just continuing to grow.
Yeah, and so you guys were able to get the ground game going early and really fast.
Yeah.
How were you able to keep it effective for the whole game behind Joel Weaver?
Well, your boy Brent Gray helped, Like, he's a heck of a game. It's one of the best performances by a quarterback since I've been here. He was at a different level last night, both running and passing. He was on point, he just took what they gave him, though, he just was himself. And we played together, and it's one of those things. That 55-yard throw before half, that's a tough catch for CJ in his defense. And I've been pretty hard on CJ, so he got his hands up. He's trying to get it, but that's a tough one. And their DB made a heck of a play hustling after CJ beat him. But to throw that ball like that, something else. But, the guys up front are really playing together. Colton Johnson came in, at fullback and did some good things. Sam Barrett's helping out in there at tight end. Kiesling at the other tight end. And then, the guys across the board just did a really good job. Not only on the line of scrimmage, but down the field. There were multiple pancakes down the field. Extra effort. After we got beat by New Pal, we used them. And I hate to go back to that, but if we don't learn from it and keep learning from it and using it, then it's for nothing. We were shoving guys around all over the field. And that was a point of emphasis after that game, that no one's done that to us except New Pal, and we need to continue to enforce that. So it wasn't just a line of scrimmage, but it was 10, 15 yards down the field that we were pushing guys around and onto the ground. So that was exciting to see.
In a recent pregame interview, you mentioned you guys tested in season at weights, and it was one of the best testings that you've had in your time here.
Yeah.
Is there a specific reason for that? Can you put an explanation behind why this is the best one in your tenure here?
Well, I think just we continue to get better. I think our off season, we tweak some things, not the programming, but our off season training. The guys not in a sport in different windows. We really pushed them hard in some areas. Coach Rhodes gave a great talk Thursday night at the team dinner about toughness, and was really appreciative of him to come in and give his insight. And, we tough people do tough things. I've said that all along. I stole that from Mr. Candiano, principal over at East and former assistant here. And Man, we did some tough things this offseason, and it's providing right now. You know, you're seeing the results, and just like our testing, I think there's a competitiveness within our team that's different, you know, and they're not afraid to be sore. They're not afraid, you know, they see what could be. And I just hope it continues to grow and build. You know, I mean, we've been strong throughout my time here, you know. I mean, there's been more talented groups, but we've always been conditioned and strong, and that's why we've been able to stay 500 or above. And it provides in those lean years, or it develops. Like right now, I mean, our JV guys are as strong as they've ever been. They're ready. I mean, you saw, and I say JV guys, but, you know, when you think about the second guys, you know what I mean? Like Nolan Hobbs came in last night when Grant went out, played his butt off, did an excellent job, you know? I mean, it's really, you see the strength, and Dane Apple looked faster than ever last night. You know what I mean? You see the development. And so for me, like looking down the road, I'm like, man, future's bright, right? I mean, and I go all the way down. I mean, the eighth grade, they thumped Delta this week. They won the conference this week. They were 6-1, 7-1. I mean, great season by those boys, you know. But the seventh grade competed better than they ever have. And I see, you know, I see growth there. And so, I mean, I've got the pulse of all these groups, and I'm really, really proud of them. But to your question with the weight room, it just continues to build and grow, and, you know, it's an exciting time in there.
Yeah, and in my opinion, one of the strongest guys, Cooper Sims. We saw him have the most receiving yards that we've seen of all year. He had 3 receptions for 91 yards. Unfortunately, did have that fumble near the end zone.
Yeah.
But how do you think he performed this week?
Yeah, no, he's steady, consistent, you know, and he's a gamer. I've said that about Coop forever. I mean, whether it's basketball or football, he's a gamer, man. The brighter the lights, the more he shines, you know, and whether it's – I mean, his blocking was really good last night. I know that's, okay, coach, but it was, man. I mean, you got a guy that's catching the ball, but he's willing to go out and make those tough blocks for the rest of the guys. It goes right back to your initial question about the run game. I mean, we get some of those long runs because him and Lowen and Voris, they're all getting after it out there, you know, and I'm proud of them for that. So that's a selfless character trait, and they get no stats for that, you know, and, you know, that's the team part of it, and you get that. But, he exceptional in the weight room, has really done a great job preparing for this senior year, and really proud of him.
Going into the game, we talked. Delta's a very unorthodox team. Of course, they use 2 quarterbacks. Yeah. They run a lot of sweeps and reversals. The start of the game, I didn't see what I expected from them, and they kind of went back to that as the game went on. Did you see that too? Were you surprised by what they were running at any point?
No, I mean, Coach did a good job mixing it up and going against his tendencies. You know, there were times where you expected him to pass, and they ran it. Mm-hmm. And there are times where they got us, you know, and to their credit, now some of that was missed tackles, but still, you got to make plays. You know, they got us on a few deep balls, and we bent, but we didn't break. You know, we had multiple fourth down stands. We talked about last night. They had 1 third down conversion. Mm-hmm. You know, that's tough. They might have got a first down, but then we tightened up. You know, and a lot of that was the kids just dialing it in. You know, and doing what they're supposed to do, taking a block on with the right shoulder, or that's the stuff I was proud of too. You know, we corrected, you know, and so, but we played really physical, even when we took blocks on, maybe with the wrong shoulder or we missed a tackle. It was fast, and our pursuit got there. Mm-hmm. A perfect example is Kiesling pursuing down the sideline. Not only was he trying to get him, but then he's hawking the ball. You know, I mean, and, you know, it's an effort thing. He wasn't just satisfied with getting a tackle. He was getting a shot on goal. We call those shot on goals. And, he did it. And, that was a bad horse collar call. I mean, some of the calls I argued were, you know, 50-50, but, that was a bad one. We had a worse one later on they didn't call, which we need to fix, you know, cause we shouldn't be doing that. So, but at the same time, stuff like that, again, it's an effort thing, you know, so.
Last night we saw a few plays that were, so you get in a situation, it was Delta scoring drive. You'd put up a tough fight. It was 3rd and 17. The Arabians, they let up that big reception, and then Delta scores it on the goal line. Obviously, that goal line 4th down play was a little bit of a controversial one. Yeah. But
he might have slipped in based on film, so I might have been a little excited.
What I told my analyst, Connor, and I was like, you know, you can't argue this one when you let up a 3rd and 17.
Yeah.
How do you prevent those big plays? Because there was multiple times last night where, you know, Delta had a big gain or they had a good play, but the Arabians could have prevented that altogether a few plays earlier.
Well, you got to tip your cap to them. They made plays, right? Mm-hmm. On the big one where he catches it down our sideline, he inside releases. Normally that's an outside release. And we've just got to make a play, you know? I mean, they did a good job attacking us. On the corner route later on, you know, we got caught watching in the backfield, which is what I told you. Like, we watch all that eye candy in there with the jet motion and the different things. They do a good job of it. Mm-hmm. And then they run the ball really well. If we get caught watching the wrong thing, then that gets us, you know? And so my answer is focus. You just got to focus on what's right in front of you, one play at a time. You know, it's no different than a test you take in class. You know, can't worry about question 30. You got to worry about the question you're on. You can't worry about the length of the test. You got to worry about where you're at right now, and you got to go as hard as you can. And that's where, you know, the training of the weight room takes you through that. You can't worry about your first set or your fifth set. You got to worry about your first set, and you got to worry about the rep you're on. You know, it all correlates, but that's hard to do. That's unnatural. It's unnormal. I mean, it's like it's one of those things where we. As human beings, we automatically look ahead, just like to Yorktown. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about Yorktown this week. Our guys stayed really focused. I was really proud of them, even throughout the game. That's why I told you. I mean, we wanted to restart the game at halftime. And, you know, I figure this Yorktown game coming up, which I might be, you know, stealing your thunder here a little bit, but it's going to be an 8-quarter game because they're one of the best in our sectional, you know. So we're going to play them once, and we're probably going to have to play them again. So, that doesn't change anything, but that's just a heavyweight fight. You know what I mean? So, but I'm proud of the guys for their focus and we just got to continue to sharpen that. You know, that's my point. We got our maturity continues to grow and we're doing a lot of good things on the field, as we build this team.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this first segment. Stay tuned for the second where we'll preview that Yorktown game like you just talked about, Coach. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside me in the studio is my co-host Liam Davis, as well as head coach of the Arabian football team, Jed Richmond. Of course, the Arabians, after last night, advanced to 6-1 on the season, 4-1 in conference play, and next on the schedule is the Yorktown Tigers. Last year was a pretty good game, and you know, I believe they're also 6-1, looking very hot right now. How does the team feel ahead of this Yorktown matchup?
I would hope hungry. You know, I'm sure they have us marked. They haven't given up as many points as we scored against them since we played them. So I'm sure this one was marked and circled and revisited time and time again in their weight room and in their summer conditionings. And you know, they got a really good team, so it's gonna be a battle. So it's one of those things. This is why you play. You know, we're. Ultimately we're fighting for second place, but we're also, this is a sectional opponent and we're probably going to see him again. So we're going to have to play him twice, is my thought, which doesn't change our game planning or anything. Our goal is to go compete you know, if our improvement, suffices, we'll win the game, but we got to continue to work on ourselves and get better and go battle.
Yeah. And Yorktown's off to the same record season as Pendleton Heights is. Yep. They're led by quarterback Sam Tokar. You know, he's really good football player, already over 1,000 yards passing. Yeah. But he's an even better baseball player.
Division one baseball player, yep.
Committed to IU to play baseball.
Yep.
How do you – what's the defense going to look like to stop the efficient passing game?
Yeah, well, same thing we did last year, you know, and same thing we do against everybody. We've got to make sure we align correctly. We got to make sure we communicate well. We got to get some pressure on him. You know, you can't just let him sit back there and throw. When he does that, he's really good. And he's a good athlete, like you mentioned. I mean, he's been offered by multiple schools for baseball. You know, I think his brother's awfully good too, and he's a leader for him. He's a center, a defensive lineman, and he's had a really good year as well. You know, obviously not being a quarterback, you don't always notice those things. I think that's one of the areas that I notice the most of them. Their line, both offense and defense, is really good. So we've got our work cut out for us there. Best challenge we've had to this point, other than New Pal. And, you know, we'll be ready and willing. So,
and going against a D1 baseball player at quarterback, we saw that in Mason Meyer in Mount Vernon week. Yeah. Is there any stereotypes that can help you game for a quarterback like this? I saw Mason Meyer pregame, and it really surprised me. His hands were huge, and he threw the football like a baseball. I don't know how to describe it, but that's how it was. Is there any stereotypes that translate?
Well, I think they're different players. You know, Mason's, you know, just a he can throw the ball, but he's a really good athlete. Sam's a little different. He's a really good passer, but he's a pitcher. And I'm sure Mason can pitch too. I'm not going to pretend to talk baseball here, but I think that's what Sam's being recruited for pitching, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So, little different mindset. I think the thing I would take away is any of our young pitchers who don't think you can be a quarterback too, Brent Gray's a pretty good pitcher too. So I tend to like our pitcher better, so, and our quarterback better, but I'm biased. But no, I mean, you gotta play ball. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I think he's a leader. I think he's a competitor. I think that's what makes him a good quarterback too, you know, and it just so happens it translates to baseball, and he's pretty solid there as well.
Yeah, and moving over to the rushing game, Yorktown's averaged 5.7 yards per carry this season. Pendleton's averaged they've averaged 6.1 yards per carry. How do you use the rush game like you have the past couple of weeks and train the offensive line to go against this tough Yorktown defensive line?
Well, we got to see. You know, they've been a pretty good defensive team all year. I think we're pretty close statistically. Like, they only give up a couple touchdowns a game, if that, you know, and you know, they held New Pal to 35 for whatever that means. You know, I know all the guys and fans look into that stuff, but when it comes down to it, we got to control the line of scrimmage, whether it's run or pass. And, you know, I mean, Coach Wilhelm's a really good coach. He's going to know if they pack the box, they better defend the pass. If they keep it balanced, they got to do both, you know, and we've got to execute both of those. So we got to take what they give us, and we got to make sure we're doing things correctly, and you know, we got to protect the football, all that. So for me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter the stats and stuff like that. They're out the windows now. It's two good teams battling. So who's going to out execute the other? Who's going to make mistakes? Who's going to overcome in game adversity? Who's going to be the most consistent? That's the team that's going to come out on top.
Now, in Thursday's team dinner, Coach Rhodes talked a lot about toughness, like you mentioned. And he said, you know, you have to give your all in these dog days of the season as we're into week 8 right now, I think.
Hard to believe.
So this latter half of your schedule, typically Delta, Yorktown, Shelbyville, they're not the most difficult teams you play, but they're also not the easiest. Yorktown and Shelbyville, they're having, like, season career years.
Yeah.
How do you make sure your team's giving all in these games, in these practices, in the dog days of football when it's the toughest?
Well, I think if you look at our record against them, we've been pretty solid. But Yorktown's got us a few years where they shouldn't have. You know, we felt like Delta got us last year, and they shouldn't have. My first 2 years here, Shelbyville got us. And my second year, we were pretty good. And you know, that, very frustrating, you know, and it's the things that our team's doing now that makes me believe even more in these guys. And that's that we take every game serious. We take every opponent serious. We come to work every day and we're trying to get better. And we don't look ahead within the game. We stay focused on the job at hand. That's the maturity of this group, and that's what the leadership is holding the team accountable to. And, you know, it's something I was thinking about with our team this week, and I've talked about it a little bit, but there's costs with leadership. And there's other coaches that say this better out there, but, you know, when you're a leader, no matter when, you're going to make hard decisions that negatively affect people. Okay. And you're going to be disliked despite doing what's right. You know what I mean? That's the hard thing there. That's where the team's got to be bonded, because you can't take it the wrong way. Like, that's the best sign I can show my own kids at home that I love them, by holding them accountable. You know what I mean? I got to love them up too, but that's the way the team works. It's no different. That's why we talk about family, you know? And I think it's important that, like, we have really good leadership on this team, and it continues to get better, but oftentimes it can be misunderstood because emotion's involved. And I told the kids that last night. Sometimes they're looking at me like, "Coach, you know, what the heck, man?" You know? But they got to understand the gravity of the situation. They got to understand we're seeing it from a different perspective. And that's the way these opponents go. And that's to your question. Our leadership, my leadership, is often misunderstood. And they've got to trust it. They've got to trust that their interests are in my heart, and the direction of this team, and where we're going, and what we can do. Because I'm the biggest believer there is. And I see things in these guys they don't see. And that's what I'm so proud of, is you start to see those things, whether it's varsity, JV, or freshman, you know what I mean? And I'm able, like I talked about the junior high, I see things there, you know? And football is such a delayed gratification sport, like, because you got to develop and you got to get bigger and stronger. And, you know, puberty hits different ages. And it's like, you never know when a guy is going to come into his own. And so it's exciting to see when those guys make those steps of growth. And that's the same with this program right now. That's a long answer, but I'm telling you, that's the key, is the buy-in and the trust. And the results that we're seeing, I'm so happy with, but sometimes you don't get those results. But you got to make sure you're doing it Monday through Thursday so that Friday you can. And I think we're doing a lot of those things right now better and as well as we've ever done them. And I think that's what you're seeing on Friday. And that's what we got to keep doing. Win or lose this week, we got to get better. It's the next step towards that sectional. And that's been consistent all year, and that's what the guys are doing. And that's just where our heads need to be.
He answered all my questions. Yeah. I have one answer.
I killed you. Sorry. Not my intention.
One final question here for you, Coach. I know you mentioned it a little bit on Thursday, but of course, it's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The whole Arabian team came out last night with pink sleeves, socks, and the other thing. What does the month mean to you, and how does it mean for the team? Obviously, they looked pretty amped about it last night.
Well, it's personal for me, you know. As a kid, growing up, my mom had cancer. They gave her, 30-some% chance to live when I was 13, and she passed away last year. So Coach Rhodes talking about toughness, I saw that firsthand growing up, you know, and I say this and I mean it. When we wear the pink, that's a little different. But anytime we put on a jersey, you're representing something bigger than yourself. And so, if you're going to wear that green and white jersey, you better play your butt off. You better do your best. So effort is not negotiable here. But when you put the pink on, it takes it a whole other level, because you're playing for somebody that's fighting something that, to be honest, it's hard to understand, you know, not having gone through it myself, but having seen people go through it. And everyone's affected by it. So it's not just swag that we're wearing. And if we're going to wear it, we're going to wear it the right way. And I thought the kids did a great job of that last night. So really proud of them for that. So,
well, thanks for joining us, Coach. We'll see you ahead of Yorktown. We're pretty excited.
Yep, me too. Hey, Coach Ergot's 50 Sunday. So anybody that knows Jay Ergot, make sure to tell him happy birthday. Molly Richmond is not 50. I'm not going to tell you her age, but happy birthday to her too. This isn't possible without her. So go Arabians.
All right, thanks for joining. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Emma Todd, and I'm joined here with
Morgan Bricker.
And we're going to be talking about the 2025-26 golf season. So you are a senior, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And so how long have you been playing golf?
I started my freshman year.
And so, like, how do you stay focused in a good mindset after a bad hole or with a rough or like difficult course?
Just trying to like not focus on that and like try and move on from that. Know that I can get better than what I just did. Kind of like trying just to like focus not on the past, but the future.
Mm-hmm. So how did you do this season? And were there any goals that you had in mind for yourself that like you accomplished or like was really big to you?
Yes, I did accomplish one of my goals. It was kind of like to get in the low 40s, and I was able to get to 41. So I was kind of proud of myself that I was able to get to that point from where I started my freshman year.
Mm-hmm. And like, what scores were you like getting your freshman year?
Like if you high remember. 50s probably. So a big jump.
Yeah. You guys normally play like 9 holes, like for a meet. Is it like a meet or like a match?
It's a match. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So you said that like your best score was like in the low 40s. So this year it was a 41 against the Yorktown Tigers in August. So what do you think helped you the most during this match?
I think I was just like really focused on the game, and I was having a little more fun than I normally do. Like I wasn't like stressed because I was doing bad or anything. Kind of just like knowing that even if I had one bad shot, I could keep going. And like putting was a big thing that I was able to come back from so many bad shots because I can make long putts.
Is that like one of your like best like skills like that you have?
It depends on the day. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's really bad. So
mm-hmm. Is that like how it is most days for like everything, just like the feel of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of just depends.
Yeah. So how do you like approach, do you have like preseason and like postseason matches too?
Not really. Ours is really just the 2 months, August and September.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
So, like, how do you, like, approach the matches when they're, like, tournaments versus just, like, little, with, like, just against, like, one school?
I usually have to pack a lot of food mm-hmm. to, like, keep my energy up. And I always eat a breakfast, like, a big breakfast before, because I feel like food has very much kept my energy up and, like, kept me in the right mindset. And kind of, like, knowing that even if I did bad on the first 9, that I still can come back on the second 9.
Yeah. So for tournaments, do you only play 9? And then, like, on one, like, against schools, you play 18?
So during the week, we play 9, which is, like, just the normal. And mm-hmm. then, like, on the weekends, like, Conference County and, like, those kind of stuff, that's 18 holes.
Oh, okay. So you guys had your sectionals on Monday the 22nd. So how do you feel that you, like, did and played even with, like, the very unfortunate weather that you guys had with the rain and everything?
I think I definitely could have done better, but with the circumstances, I think, like, I kind of, like, stayed happy and, like, mm-hmm. like in the right mindset, even if
yeah.
it didn't work out very well.
Mm-hmm. What did you end up scoring?
112. for 18. Yeah, that's good. I definitely would not be able to get that. And on Tuesday, the 16th, you had a three-way matchup with Frankton and Hamilton Heights. You scored a 46 with a couple of pars. How do you, like, what do you think, like, contributed most to that score? And if you didn't, like, if you don't, like, exactly remember, like, what do you think really helps, like, help you get those lower scores?
That night, we convinced our coach to let us and the other senior to play together. So I definitely was having more fun and, like, wasn't really worried about, like, what I was getting from hole to hole and just tried my best overall.
Yeah. So how, like, are you planning to play golf after high school at all?
Probably not. I was just a skill that I'll probably use for, like, what field I'm trying to go into and, like, do it with other people, kind of just to enjoy myself.
Yeah, so you said you've been playing since freshman year. How do you think that, like, what helped you change, like, from your freshman year to your senior year?
A lot of practice, chipping and putting, and my driver.
Mm-hmm.
All those things, like, struggled my freshman year, but I was able to work on them.
Yeah, how do you, like, prepare yourself for, like, those hard meets or matches that you have?
I usually, like, let's say I'm struggling beforehand, I usually either go to, like, the putting green and just work on the small skills, or I'll go to a driving range and, like, hit all my clubs and then focus on the one that I need to the most.
Mm-hmm. And, like, so you've been playing for a pretty long time. What do you say that, like, your favorite part of the game is?
Definitely the people. Our golf team is very, like, supportive and funny, and, like, I enjoy being there every day.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have, like, a young team or, like, an older team filled with seniors?
There was 4 seniors this year, but it's kind of, like, all spread out across everyone.
Mm-hmm. So do you like more, like, technique or strategy for, like, when you're playing?
Probably strategy, because, like, if you get in bad positions, you have to, like, think of, like, what could get worse, but, like, if you do something, will it get better afterwards?
Mm-hmm. So, like, what is, like, the strategy for, like, I know, like, one of your guys' matches that you had, like, a really, like, difficult course, like, with trees, I think it was. Like, how do you deal with, like, the trees and everything?
I just try and stay in the fairway the most, but, like, let's say I do get into the trees, I kind of try and get back out and away from the trees because I tend to hit them a lot.
Mm-hmm. And what's, like, your most treasured, like, memory or achievement in golf?
Probably last year's sectionals. I was, like, going into it terrified, like, shaking before I teed off, but I was able to come back and get a decent score.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So I, like, finding everything about your stats and stuff, very, like, typical of, like, you and Kirsten Dumovich to be, like, the top two. How do you, like, feel about that, like, being, like, one of the best golfers on the team?
I think it kind of just depends on the day. Golf is a very, like, iffy sport, and I think my consistency was very much a key to produce well for our team.
Mm-hmm. So, you said, like, you try to just stay away from, like, the hard holes. You, like, stay in your mental game. So how do you, like, what do you, like, think or, like, mental, like, before those hard matches?
I kind of think of, like, try and, like, stay true to myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, know, like, even at practice I have bad holes, but then the next hole I can get par. So, like, kind of just staying, like, knowing that I am capable of doing better and, like, sticking to what I know best.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, like, pre-match rituals or anything like that?
Not really. I usually just get food before all of them. That's one thing the team will say is I always make time for food.
I think it's so cool that you guys go and get ice cream, like, after most of your guys' matches. I think that's so fun. Which part of your game is, like, the most consistent, like, your driving, putting, or short game?
Probably my short game. My, like, 8-through pitching wedge is probably my best. Like, I know I can get it there and mm-hmm. do good with those.
So is that, like, your go-to club when you're, like, in a sticky situation or anything like that?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. I'm Emma Todd, and I was joined with
Morgan Bricker.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program
on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklandon, 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Max Hyman, joined by Ali Robinson. Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Ali, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We have some questions for you. Being a freshman and playing on varsity, did you expect coming into high school that you'd be starting varsity or playing varsity?
No, I didn't, because some of the girls I've watched, played with in middle school, and all of them showed like a lot of talent. And I'm really grateful that I got to start.
Right now you're leading the team in goals with 10 goals on the season. What do you think, who do you think is creating your opportunities, and like, are your teammates getting you the ball? Are you finding a way to get the ball? Is what's your key to scoring so many goals?
A lot of our midfield, they play a lot of really good balls. Sydney Jones, Courtney Prickett, Allie Johnson, and our wides too, Ella Todd, Annabelle. A lot of the upper people like have really good balls up to the top.
Obviously, you're a freshman now. What's been the difference transitioning over from the middle school over to the high school? Like, is the pace of play a little faster? Is the skill just, is it more wide ranged? What is it?
Yeah, in middle school, it was really easy. We won a lot of games by more than 5 points. But then high school, it's like competing with people a lot older than you, and it's definitely faster, stronger people. You can't just like run through them how you would expect in middle school. It's definitely a lot harder than school.
Well, saying how easy it was in middle school, or do you like it more in high school? Is there more of a challenge? Are you more willing to take the challenge? Is like, how is that transition?
Yeah, the challenge is definitely better. It's helping me learn new things, learn new plays, how to connect with older people, better people, and I definitely like it more than middle school.
Yeah. What have you seen, like, from your own standpoint and your team's standpoint, the difference between middle school to high school? Have you been getting better each practice? How are the practices different? Stuff like that.
I've definitely gotten better. Like, off days are common, obviously. And the difficulty with helping other people is, and helping yourself too, it's a lot harder and more pressure on you.
Yeah. In your 2-1 victory against Delta, you scored both of the goals in that game. What was your game plan going into that game, and how'd you guys execute it?
We had to win that for conference. We're out now, but for that, I knew people were depending on us getting the points for it, and us trying, our top line mainly, trying to get up there.
With you ladies being 5-8 on the season, but being 4-2 in conference play, obviously this is not where you guys were wanting to be at the beginning of the season. Yeah. What needs to change to bring you more success for the second half of the season?
I think it's our lack of focus. Like, the warm-ups, I definitely don't always focus. Some people don't. Then our finishing, our forwards, me, and then just the other people there, it definitely needs some work. And our coach has said that too.
With the leadership of Olivia Hart and Courtney Prickett, where do you fall into the leadership with being a freshman and being so young and having so much success early on?
I think that usually in practices and leadership like that, it's usually the upperclassmen that like to take over because they obviously seem more mature, so more people believe that they can execute the practice better. And I believe that too. I think they do really good at that. But I think that if I needed to step in that, I think I could do that.
When you guys played New Pal, unfortunately, you guys lost 3-0. New Pal, just being New Pal, just how dominant they are in every sport. What was your coach's message to the team after that game? And what was your game plan going into the game? And how'd you execute it? And what was your coach's message after the game?
So before the game, we had to win that for conference. If we lost that, we were out, which we are. And our coach was trying to motivate us. He was going over the statistics of other games, looking at their games, connecting them, seeing what we needed to work on to win. And in the game, I think that we just didn't do what we needed to do. A lot of just kicking it, which with all the pressure from New Pal and how good they are, it was definitely harder to get the ball off our foot and find a good play to do that. And our coach's message, he said that we just need to sleep on it, get over it, and come back for Monday, Mount Vernon.
Well, that brings me to my next question. What are you guys preparing for Mount Vernon? Do you guys watch film at all?
Yeah, we have some film days.
You guys have film for soccer. So what have you seen on film to where you can attack Mount Vernon offensively and defensively?
So we haven't really looked at Mount Vernon yet, which we probably are before the game on the bus or something like that. But we definitely need to play it fast because Mount Vernon, they are fast. They're really dedicated. We've seen some of their social media. They really like to push themselves. And I think that's just what we need to do too, to really work and help our teams get to the league.
You being a freshman, as I mentioned before, you haven't played like Mount Vernon's high school team or New Pal's high school team or Delta's high school team. You haven't played these girls before. But you have in middle school, but you're still playing completely different people each week. How do you yourself prepare yourself going into these games, not really knowing what to expect?
So usually I ask the upperclassmen about their past games with the teams. I ask how their back line is, how I need to get past them, what their flaws are on getting to that. But I think that my mom, she helps me a lot on just making sure that I'm not bringing anyone down or myself and just going in there thinking we can win it.
Well, thank you for joining me for this week's ASN Inside the Coaches Show. I'm Max Heineman, joined by Aaliyah Robinson. Aaliyah, thank you again. This is 91.7 WEEM.
Tired of boring old podcasts? Flip it around with Arabian Rundown, our bi-weekly podcast posted every other Thursday. This isn't your typical podcast. Get ready to dive into wild conversations, fun topics, and awesome conversations with the WEEM podcast staff. Listen to Arabian Rundown anywhere you get your podcasts. Watch the video version on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. My name is Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host Liam Davis. Liam, I've had a pretty good coaches show today.
Yeah, it's been awesome talking to Coach Richmond, talking to some of the sports players around Pendleton Heights, and getting to know most of the scores.
Well, we're here to wrap it up. We'll start with boys soccer. We mentioned before, 10-5-1 this season. They won the Hoosier Heritage Conference 7-0, didn't lose a game in the conference. Tuesday, they've got a date with HSE. HSE is ranked 9th in 3A for boys soccer. They're 8-3-5 on the season. That's a tough sectional play, and that one's going to be at Fishers High School if you want to go, so they'll take on HSE at Fishers. What time does that start, Liam?
7:15 p.m.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. We'll move on to girls soccer.
Yeah, and girls soccer, you know, coming off that win and still having a couple more matchups left, one matchup left, actually, and then they'll face Fishers at HSC. So boys will play HSC at Fishers. Girls will play Fishers at HSC.
Yeah, a little backwards, but they've both got their sectionals lined up, and they both aren't easy. It's going to be a tough one, and you know, that Fishers team, they caught them on a year where they haven't been the best. You know, historically, I think that's a pretty good team, but they caught them on a little bit of a down year, so maybe this is a chance to get one over on the Fishers Tigers, and they're the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's 8 in the morning still, all right? We'll talk about volleyball, of course, 14-15 on their season, 1-6 in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. Their sectional drawing will be tomorrow. If you want, you could watch the pairing show available at ihsaatv.org. You can find out who Pendleton Knights will play. They're in a very tough sectional, one of the toughest in the state. Liam, what are those teams? Just so everyone knows who could potentially be drawn.
Anderson, obviously Pendleton Knights, Greenfield Central, Mount Vernon, Muncie Central, Richmond, and Yorktown.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, you know, shy away from that Yorktown one early. Maybe you want to take them on. I'd be curious what Coach Barksdale wants to do, you know. We'll talk to Richmond in the next week around for the coaches' football pairing, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and football also has a pretty tough game ahead of them, Yorktown. Pendleton's 4th in 4A, Yorktown's 5th in 4A.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a really fun matchup.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. I always like to look at strength of schedule, and for Pendleton Knights, they have the 89th hardest schedule in the state. Yorktown's 103, so everything's really even. The records are the same. Both teams have their strengths and weaknesses, and this is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be the best game of the season for Pendleton Heights.
Yeah.
Just a pure game. Like, it'll be back and forth. They're not going to shut out this team. I'd be very surprised if they do. And like Coach Richmond said, like I said a little bit earlier, it might be a preview for what's to come.
Yeah, and both teams are looking really similar. You know, defensive side, very strong defensive lines for both teams. Very good linebackers, very good defensive backs. Quarterbacks are the exact same. Yorktown has multiple running backs, just like Pendleton Heights has multiple running backs. And then the receiving core for both groups is just very talented. I'm really excited to see what this matchup has in store for us.
Yeah, we're going to call that game right here on our station, 91.7 WEEM. We'll be there at Yorktown, that one is. It'll be a fall break game for Pendleton Heights. So I'll look to see by the time of the game to see if Yorktown's in fall break too. Do you know if they'll be at the top of your head?
I'm guessing they are, because everybody's fall break is like near the same.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll break that one down. 7 p.m. kickoff start, and we'll be on here for our pregame show. 6:45, it'll be me and Liam, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to want to miss that one. But that'll do it for the coaches show. Whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole thing, we really appreciate it. We'll be here same time next week, 8 a.m. fresh start after that Yorktown game. But, yeah, thanks for joining me, Liam.
Thank you for having me.
All right, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Stay connected with what's happening around our campus and community by tuning in to WEEM Weekly, our amazing bi-weekly podcast posted every other Wednesday. Join the WEEM podcast staff as they interview influential figures of our community, school, clubs, and more. Listen anywhere you get your podcasts and watch the vodcast on our YouTube at WEEM Media. Get the information you need by listening to WEEM Weekly.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.